It's great to have Bob and Sue Cullen with us today. They've been serving faithfully in Central Africa since 1978.
Yeah, 77.
So our other missionaries are 77. So you went out in good years. So this is great. We were part of the original team that sent them to Africa. We commended them from what was then Grace and True Chapel, Grace Bible Fellowship, and we've had the opportunity through the years of having them here, being able to be a part of their work, and our delight to have you both here this morning. And Bob, come give us a brief update and then challenge us from the Word of God.
It's really good to be with you. God is so good, and He has really been doing a work in all of our lives, and it's a joy to share together and see what God is doing. I prayed much, considered much what the Lord would have me to present to you. And it seemed as though God was giving me a message. And the message was very simple. Be faithful. Be faithful. It sometimes may be something that we forget about a little bit, but being faithful. And as I thought about that, there was a passage that came to mind. It's maybe a little bit obscure passage we don't talk much about in Scripture, found over in the book of Genesis. And I wanted to look at this passage first and see how it relates to you and to us in our ministry together. Just a little bit of background. We'll be over in Genesis chapter 16. But in chapter 12, God spoke to Abram. And He says, I want you to leave your land, your family, your friends, and go to a land that I will show you. And Susan and I relate very much to that because God called us to leave America and our family and our friends and our, you know, relations and stuff around and go to a land on the other side of the world. Actually, it's about, I think, 11 hours difference over there from where it is today. So you're just getting going, and they're all getting ready to go to bed over there. So onto the other side of the world, God spoke to Abram and said, go. And so Abram said goodbye to most of his relatives, and he went. He left. And they spent a little bit of time on the journey. His father died, and then they continued on their journey down to the land of Canaan. And in the land of Canaan, God said to him, this is the land that I am going to give to you. Now, unfortunately, there was a famine in the land, and so what does Abram and his wife and all that he had have to do? They decided to go down into Egypt, probably because there was food there. There was the Nile River to provide irrigation. So they went on down. I'm not sure that he asked the Lord if he wanted him to do that, because as soon as they got into Egypt, they ended up with some big problems. And he was fearful for his life. He told his wife, you're a beautiful woman. And guys, if you don't do that once in a while to your wives, you need to do it. And he said, you're so beautiful. When they ask you who you are, just say, you're my sister. Well, she was a half-sister. But it was sort of stretching the truth a little bit, and that led to some problems. Because as soon as they got down there, the Egyptians looked at Sarai, that was her name at that time, and they said, yeah, she's a good woman. I think she could be added to the the wives of Pharaoh. And so they came and took her. And, you know, as is done in Africa, there is a dowry that is paid. A dowry that, you know, the man will pay to the family of the bride. And so when you read in chapter 16, you find that here Pharaoh was very generous in giving Abraham cattle and sheep and camels and donkeys, but then it also points out that he gave him slaves as well, because slaves were a common thing in this time, and they still are today in Africa. And these slaves, both male and female, were given over to Abram as a bride price, a dowry. Now, it doesn't tell us in Scripture, but the indication is there that among those female slaves was a young girl by the name of Hagar. And she was given to Abram. Now, she was a slave. And a slave has no right to say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And in Uganda, it's a struggle at times because they will attack villages from up in Sudan, and they will carry off usually the children and sell them into slavery. Even today, you don't hear about that on the news that much. But if you were to travel to Khartoum, the capital of Sudan, any day of the week, for $500, you can buy as many slaves today as you would want. They're there in the slave market for sale. It's a long time history that they have carried on. But Hagar was not sold, she was given to Abram, and he accepted these slaves. And Hagar had no say in the matter. If she had said, no, I don't want to go, she would have probably been beaten and maybe even executed. She had no say. And so she was taken. Well, in the end, Pharaoh found out that Sarai was actually the wife of Abram, and he was very upset, became fearful that God was going to judge him. And so he returned Sarai to Abraham, and he says, now as for you, get out of my country. Leave. And to show good faith, what I have given to you, you can keep and take with you, but just please go. And so we read in chapter 16 that Abram packed up everything and they went back to the land of Canaan. Sarai took Hagar as one of her maids, but Hagar had no say in the matter. She had probably been captured someplace in Africa, brought and bought by Pharaoh and his court, now given to Abram and Sarai. And now Abram was leaving and going to a different land, the land of Cana, one she had probably never seen. And she had no say in the matter. She had to go. There are times that we face struggles in our life. You face them right here in the chapel. Things you don't ask for. Things that just happen. Maybe they're difficult things. Maybe there's things that you would prefer didn't happen, but they did. And so how do you react to those things? Yesterday we were presenting a global challenge, many of the challenges that we face in ministry in Central Africa. Wherever you are in the world, there are challenges. But God's message to us is, be faithful. Be faithful. And I felt that was God's message for you, and also for Susan and myself. We're getting old. We've had struggles with health issues. And at times you have the temptation to say, well, maybe we should just retire. But friends, this is not the time to retire. There's a world in need of the gospel. And so we carry on. And we present that message to you as well. So Hagar was taken with the rest of them back to the land of Canaan. And she served there as a slave. She went on being obedient in serving, carrying on her mission. And as a slave, she had no say and said, I don't feel real good today. I don't think I'm going to do anything. You know, they didn't have the choice. When Sarai called her, whether she felt good or whether she felt tired or bad, it didn't matter. She had to go. And all through her life, it had been that way. Now, Hagar, when she joined this group, was probably only a teenager. Usually in Africa today, they don't like to take the old people. They leave the old ones and take the young. They get a better price because they have more years of service usually ahead of them. So Hagar was probably a young girl. She was taken up there. And then about 11 years later, that brings us to chapter 16 of Genesis. It says that 11 years later, Sarai came up with a plan. And she says, I will give this young lady now, probably in her 20s, as a second wife to my husband, Abram. Again, not asking the Lord's direction, but trying to satisfy a cultural agreement or cultural norm that they had at that time. So she didn't ask Hagar, would you like to be the wife, the second wife of Abram? I don't find that in Scripture. She was not asked. She was told. And Scripture says, Sarai took Hagar and gave her to Abram as a wife, the second wife. Hagar had no choice in the matter. She went and she was married as a second wife. It wasn't long before she became pregnant. And the idea was if she produced a child, that child would be the actual child, looked on as the actual heir and child of Sarah and Abraham. But we're not sure exactly what happened, but Hagar was maybe didn't have the best attitude. And so what happened was Sarai got very angry. She began to blame Abram. And then Abram turned around and blamed her. And they started the blame game. You know, why are you allowing this Egyptian girl to you know, not have a good attitude? And Abraham is saying, well, why did you bring her to me in the first place? So they began to blame each other, and it became very hot, till Abraham said, she's your servant, do with her as you desire. Not she's my wife, but she's just your servant. So Sarai began to mistreat her. We're not told all that happened, but she made life very, very tough for Hagar. So what happened? For the very first time In the life of Hagar, she did something for herself. She said, I'm going to run away. Now that was a serious matter, because a runaway slave is usually executed if they're caught. So she was in a very difficult position and basically said, it doesn't matter if they kill me, I'm going to run away. God had orchestrated all of this. God, who is the controller of all things, had seen Hagar when she was taken and captured and put into slavery. He had seen Hagar as she became a slave of Pharaoh. God saw when Hagar had been given to Abram as a gift and part of the dowry. God saw Hagar as she was taken to the land of Canaan. God saw the difficulties that resulted from all of this. God saw Hagar when she ran away. And here's Hagar on the road back to Egypt, sitting by a spring. I'm sure she's trying to figure out, now what am I going to do? I don't know if any of my family are still alive. And usually in northern Uganda and southern Sudan, when they come in and take slaves, they kill everybody except the ones they're capturing and taking to the slave market. So Hagar is probably thinking, what now? Who even knows me? As she was sitting at this spring, it says, the angel of the Lord came to her. Let's look at Genesis 16, verse 7. It says, now the angel of the Lord found Hagar by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Sur, which is on its way down to Egypt. And the angel of the Lord said, verse 8. It is the very first thing that he said to her. You see it there? What did he say?
Hagar, Sarah's name.
Hagar, right? Hagar, Sarai's maid. You see it? I'm sure she was surprised, because what is she doing? She's running away. She's trying to hide. And somebody comes up behind her and says, Hagar. The very first thing that comes into her mind is, who knows me? Somebody knows me here. I have been found. And not only that, but he goes on to say, Sarai's maid. He knows all about me. I'm sure she was terrified at the realization. But God, here related as the angel of the Lord, with a definite article, usually refers to the pre-incarnate Christ. He called her by name. He called her by her position. And what did he say? He goes on to say to her in verse 10, verse 9, the angel said to her two things. Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. She was running. The angel asked her the question first, where are you going and where are you coming from? And she said, I am running from my mistress. And that's all that she said, because she didn't know where she was going. But the angel of the Lord said to her, return and submit yourself to your mistress. That was probably the last thing that Hagar wanted to hear. What would happen if she went back? Would she be guaranteed of a welcome? Would Sarai say to you, "Oh, you're back, whoa, good, praise God you're here"? Or would she call the guards, arrest her as a runaway slave? Sarai already was upset with her and made life miserable for her, and this gave her the opportunity or the reason to have her executed, maybe, or imprisoned. Go back and submit. Submit to what? Submit to the abuse. Submit to the difficulties. Submit to the struggles that she faced. Why are we talking about this? Because that's exactly what God tells us to do. At times when we face struggles, difficulties, believe me, we're all in the midst of them. What does God tell us? Be faithful. Go there and submit to what I have allowed to come into your lives. Submit to those things and be faithful in serving me. Be faithful. Well, what did Hagar do? She went back. Regardless of the consequences, she changed direction and headed home. But before she did, the angel of the Lord said to her, "If you do this, I will greatly multiply your seed." And we have faced that struggle today because from Hagar descended many of the Arab nations who are still in conflict even now with some of the descendants of Abraham, and the fight goes on. And it started back here. And she went back, and God did bless her. And God did multiply, and she became, through Hagar and Abram, the heads of a great, great race of people beyond number. They're all over the world today. I'm sure you have some here in Portland as well, some Arabs, okay? They're all over the world. And if you talk to them and ask, "Where did you come from?" they say, "Well, our father Abram, or Abraham." She went back. But before she did, God says, "I want to not only redirect you to go back, I want to give you a revelation. And the revelation will help you through the difficulties." And it's a revelation that has helped me very much in my life. The angel of the Lord said to her, verse 11, "Behold, you will be with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction." Well, we use Ishmael because we read from left to right, but if you read as the Arabs and the Jews read, it's right to left. So, he says, "You will call this child El," which is their word for God, "Ishmael," which is their word for hears. God hears. He had heard her cries of help. He had heard her prayers. She had watched very carefully maybe as Abram worshipped his God. She had heard the words Elohim, Adonai, Jehovah. But to her, it didn't make a great impact because in Egypt, these Egyptians called all their idols Elohim, or El, or Baal, or Lord Adonai. And so she says, these names that he has given to his God are the same names that they use in Egypt. But there was something different. Because as she watched Abram, she says, yes, Abram talks to his God, but somehow his God talks back to him. God tells him what he should do. In fact, he has told us how God said to him to leave his land and come to this land of Canaan. God spoke. And to speak, God would have had to hear. So she had those thoughts in her mind, but now the angel of the Lord is saying, I want to introduce myself, first of all, as El Ishma. And I want that to become something real to you. Because you are going to name your child Ishmael. Now think of it. Moms, how often do you call your children? You know, you have a young child. How often do you call their name? Very often. Huh? Or just maybe once a year. You know, it's a common thing. And here is Hagar calling, Ishmael, 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 where are you? Every time she spoke that, she's saying the name. God who hears, God who hears, God who hears. It was a reminder to her. God hears. He hears our prayers. He hears our groanings, our struggles. Maybe at times you face the struggles of life and you just groan within yourself and say, why, Lord? Why do these things come my way? Years. And so God began with that by saying, I want to introduce myself to you as the God who hears, because that's a part of my character. I will hear what Sarai says to you. I will hear what Abram says to you. I will hear your prayers. Wherever you are, I am the God who hears. But then he took a step further. And he goes on in verse 13. She called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God, a living God who sees. Here was another name of God that was introduced to her, El Roy, the living God who sees. And she named the spring that she was sitting at, the spring called the living God who sees. God had revealed himself to Hagar as the God who hears and the God who sees. She had come from a land of Egypt that was full of idols. Idols with eyes, but they did not see. Ears, but they did not hear. A mouth, but they did not speak. God had relating to Hagar and says, I'm not like that. I am a living, breathing God, and I hear and I see what's happening in your lives. Hagar was encouraged with that. We can read many verses in Scripture about how, you know, the eyes of the Lord in Proverbs goes to and fro over all of the earth, seeing both the good and the bad. Because we worship a living God who not only hears, but one who sees. And it's not just in Portland. He sees you. He hears you. From Portland to Kigali in Africa, God sees and God hears. And I praise God today that there are believers there in Uganda that have started this day by worshiping and praising God together and remembering Him. God has heard it, and God has heard and seen what you have done already this morning, because that is the kind of God that we worship. These are words that were given to Hagar. Simple words, simple names, but names with a powerful, powerful meaning behind them. And friends, if you face the struggles here in the chapel, in your work, in your jobs, maybe physical struggles, cultural struggles, some persecution, friends, remember these words, these names of God. God who hears. You don't have to shout like the prophets of Baal and cut themselves and jump up and down and try and get God's attention. And he never did hear the prophets of Baal. God says, it can be just a whisper. It can be just a thought in your mind, a prayer, not even spoken, but I hear it. I see the struggles that you're facing. And I have one message for you. Be faithful. Be faithful. Don't give up. The temptation is always there, but don't give up. Be faithful. And I praise God for this Egyptian slave girl. When she learned those lessons, she went back. She submitted. And God blessed her. And she is the mother of a great number of descendants today. Let's be faithful so that God can use us to reach a world in such need of salvation, such need of help. He wants to use us to present the gospel to men and women, boys and girls all over the world that Jesus saves. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one will come to the Father except by Him. And we praise God that we have been able to have a small part in this ministry. We're all working together as partners. And for many, many years, you have stood with us and prayed for us and encouraged us. And we pray for you. And we want to encourage you as well. Be faithful. Carry on this work. And together, God is doing a mighty work in and through each one of us. Be faithful. We wanted to share just a little bit of some of the things that God is doing in Uganda. We can see what God is doing here. You have faced your struggles, but you're still here.
And you're still carrying on. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep serving Him. Because you have the answer to the needs of the world. Let your light shine. Be the salt of the earth. Be faithful. As Paul and Barnabas called the church of Antioch together and gave them a report of what is happening in their first missionary journey, we've also put together just a few pictures to help you to maybe see, and we explain a little bit what God is doing through all of us. Susan and I don't stand up and say, this is what we have done. No, we don't take credit for it. It's all of God. He's the one. It's Jesus that is building His church. And we're excited just to be a small instrument in His hand to reach out to these people in Uganda.
So I wanted to show you just a few pictures very quickly. Our time is about gone, but I wanted to just give you... In Africa, we're working in an area right in the center, down here in Kabale in Uganda. And all of Uganda is an exciting place. It's sitting right along the Great Rift Fault. And it's a place that's full of volcanic mountains, deep valleys, lakes, and different, you know, typography. Is that distracting you a bit? I don't know. Okay. But our ministry was primarily with youth when we started, because Uganda's a nation of young people. We started with youth clubs. We started with Sunday schools. We started going to the schools. And God has really blessed in amazing ways in reaching out to these youths. Many of them are adults and carrying on that ministry that we began way back then, teaching others in Sunday schools, carrying on youth clubs and outreach ministries. We tried to encourage them to serve God and to take on this ministry, providing literature and different things to help them to prepare themselves for going out and proclaiming the Word of God. In Uganda, we're able to go into the schools. They're wide open to go in and to preach the gospel, to encourage them to take Emmaus courses and other materials, and to talk to them and answer their questions about the Bible. It's always a joy to see them and see the enthusiasm where they're taking Emmaus courses, Bible study courses, and when they finish 12, they usually come to the chapel and we give them a certificate, and they're always glad to see what the Word of God has been teaching them. We minister through sports as well, because Ugandans, like most young people, love sports. We built on our Bible school campus that we built there, basketball court, volleyball, a soccer field. This Christmas, they had the second year of their annual conference for basketball. They bring teams from all over together and play a competition. They wanted a picture of all of the first ones who started way, way back learning how to play basketball. And they enjoy that these guys are training and teaching others how to play the sports. And God is really blessing. Here Sue is teaching the kids another little game called kickball. And they're out there playing it. It's an easy way of playing softball, but with the foot. We also have our child sponsorship program called YouCare. They have taken this ministry over, and they are sponsoring from chapels to chapel, where they are taking funds from one chapel in America and helping a chapel in Uganda to help the families there to be able to send their children to school. David and Ken Ross are also administering this program, and God is blessing it to encourage the believers there that there's others standing with them. Susan always enjoys going out and sharing with the ladies, various ministries, teaching the word, listening to their testimonies, singing together. It was a joy. This last Christmas, she had a big ladies' conference, and representatives from many different chapels came together, and they had a time of singing and worshiping and praising the Lord together. And Susan's heart was encouraged to see how they were going on in this ministry. I worked very much discipling men, training them in the Word of God, discussing with them, trying to build into their lives, teaching them ways of communication and study, not only through literature, but also in the computers, having intensive training programs in our Bible school campus. And then they are sent out. And God is blessed in many ways as these young adults are going out and evangelizing, and churches are being established all across the country of Uganda. We continue a ministry in the local churches, and it's a joy to see what God is doing there with these various churches and the leaders there. We go out and visit different chapels. Here's one at Kashambia, and another one at Ushoralazi, long name, to be a part in their baptism and their conferences as well. Whether it's in a tent or a building, it doesn't matter. What they want is to teach the Word of God, proclaim Him to others. Here is another group. We also have been invited by the government to go into 18 different prisons across Uganda. Last year, we graduated 248 students from 12 courses of study. We distributed 660 courses with 3,000 students. We are thankful for men like Emmanuel and Nelson who are going out to the prisons, distributing literature, and also encouraging the staff in the prisons to take the courses and study God's Word together. Ministry through literature, and they are carrying on the printing and the distribution of the Bible study courses, tracts, Sunday school programs, all of these different ministries now, and it's a joy to see how God is using the literature to reach out. Sunday school literature is being used across Uganda, and also now in the DR Congo as well. So we have many different books that we have set from some of the Emmaus books, and they print them out locally right there to save cost. Last year they distributed over 10,000 Bible study books. It's an incredible thing that they are carrying on, distributing these books, grading them, getting them back to the people. This is our Sunday school program, and they're using this all over the country. We also have other materials in their local languages that they are printing, whether it's Kinyarwanda or in Luchiga or Swahili, different languages. We're writing pamphlets answering their frequently asked questions. We write a pamphlet to try and explain it. So instead of trying to answer every question, we send them a paper to help them study. This is an adult literacy program that we're using in the prisons. This is the print shop that is working to print the literature as it's needed. When it's printed and stapled and trimmed, it's put into the storeroom, and then it goes out as quickly as they can print it out to different parts of the country. Bible school training, discipling leaders for tomorrow. That's our objective. And it's a joy to work with some of these young men as they study, and then they go out to proclaim and teach others. We're thankful for the facilities that God has helped us to build right there through your help as well. It's this year we have finally finished the main structure of their main administration, lecture hall, and auditorium. This is the dormitory, the fellowship hall, and offices that we have, the dining hall. And it's a joy for us to be able to sit maybe over a meal with some of the students and discuss the Bible together with them. And to see their enthusiasm as well. We often go out to extension areas where we have other meeting areas where we can teach the Word of God. Oftentimes we have to go by motorcycle or a four-wheel drive vehicle because the roads are not all that good. Ministry and evangelism, as we encourage the young people as well as the older adults to get use whatever means possible. If it's music, if it's preaching, if it's Christian videos, things like this that they can use. We ask that you pray for our Ugandan co-workers. They are carrying on this work. And also pray as we, so that we can finish well the ministry that God has given to us. We close by saying there is still much to be done, but we thank you for your partnership with us in this work. We couldn't do it without you. And together, God is using us to reach out to a world in need of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You are my witnesses." Whether it's in Portland or whether it's in Uganda, you are my witnesses. And I leave the message with you. Let's be faithful. Let's finish the work that God has given us to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for our brothers and sisters here who have stood with us over the years, prayed for us, encouraged us, helped us. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to help each one of us to be faithful, to carry on the ministry that you have given us to do, that we may finish the job, we may finish this work that you have given us to do. Help us to be faithful, Lord. I thank you for what you are doing in us as well as through us. I pray that in all that we do and say, that it will be pleasing in your sight and bring glory and honor to your name. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your help. I thank you that you are a God that hears, a living God that sees.